Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, and her preaching is entitled, How Will You End the Story?
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, Look, all these years I worked like a slave for you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Once upon a time, there was an ungrateful boy who chose his father's money over being with the father himself, and ran off with what should have been his future inheritance and wasted it, and woke up one morning in a pigsty, aware that he was hungry and without a future, and the story could have ended there. It would have been a classic morality tale, like those found throughout the Mediterranean in Jesus' time. Then, as now, it's more than law enforcement that keeps people on their best behavior. It's the stories we tell to one another, beginning in childhood, no. And this one would have been called the tale of the prodigal son, another way of saying the son who had something good and blew it. Lesson be learned. But in Jesus' way of telling it, the story doesn't end where it should. It goes on, because that son goes back to his father, ready to return as a servant. We might even say a slave, because he is that hungry. And the father will have none of it. The old man spots the boy still far off and lifts his robes and does the most undignified thing. He runs to him and restores him as a son of the household, with ring and robe, sandals and a feast, a full-blown feast. And the story could have ended there. It would have been a crazy story that people would have debated after they left Jesus' presence. It might have been called the story of the prodigal father, the father who had dignity and status and wealth and blew it all on his snot of a boy. But wait, the story isn't done yet. In fact, Jesus has just been setting the stage, because the old man has a second son, an elder son who's been out in the father's field all day hard at work, and hears the party going on and finds out what it's all about and refuses to go in. He is steamed. And if you are like probably 90% of those listening to Jesus tell this story, whether on that hillside in ancient Galilee or in the 2,000 years since, you feel for this older son. I know I certainly do. I spend a lot of time wandering around in scripture and trying on various characters for size. And no matter how many times I audition in prayer, I never get cast in the role of the woman breaking the dinner party with the alabaster jar. I'm not particularly believable trying to play the role of the sheep lost in the pasture as the wolf prowls. I don't make a good coin lost in a crack. No one's ever come looking for me because I'm not much one for wandering off. If you want to know where I am, all you have to do is Google. I'm kind of ridiculously foundable and responsible. And this makes it hard for me to imagine well the pain of those who have really felt lost. I mean, seriously lost. It makes it hard for me also to experience their joy. I have little patience for the drama, and I don't really get the need for lavish parties. But I do know what it's like to feel lost without ever having left home. What it's like to roam abundant fields of love and acceptance and mercy and never think of them as my own. And I do know what it's like to work those fields like a servant, dare I say, a slave. In saying that, I by no means intend to imply that I've ever been in a situation of physical enslavement, as so many have throughout history to devastating effect. But rather in the metaphorical sense that Jesus and St. Paul often use. I know what it's like to work in a way that's not free, to feel driven to work, compelled to work in such a way that I don't get to decide when I start or when I stop or what kind of task I have to do. I know what it's like to work out of fear of failure, fear of disappointing people, disappointing myself, fear of not having enough, fear of famine right around the corner, working in a way that I'm unable personally to enjoy the fruits of my labor. And when I do work like that, I get bitter. I get hung up on things like goats and why no one has given me a barbecue lately. I think all of my labor has gone unappreciated, unseen. It turns me against others because I think they should work like I work. I will tend to think the traditional end of the story was just fine, the one where the young snot gets his comeuppance. Working like a slave narrows my heart. It makes it harder for me to forgive, harder to feel joy. And so the father asks me whether I too might not come to my senses and remember that yes, I too am in his eyes a son, a daughter, not a slave. Could I not also be restored to my rightful place in the family and know that the father's fields are already mine? I already have everything I need or will ever need. I do not need to be afraid. It is safe to expand my heart. But I too could blow it. Will I waste the wealth that is mine? Not on loose living, but on bitterness. By my actions, do I not also tell the Father that I care more about his stuff than our relationship? And note that in Jesus' telling, that question never gets answered. In Jesus' story, the 10% of the hearers who know that they are really lost hear the good news that they can come home and will be received by the Father with open arms. But for the other 90% of us, for whom the parable really probably was being told, the end is open. And we get to decide whether we will be slaves or sons, whether we will squander our truest wealth or come to the feast. The end of Jesus' story is really up to us.